الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. ما بعد، إذا إن شاء الله الشريف بالنعم ناقض الناقض الطاقة الناقض الطاقة although the mind is heavy we have to prepare for our own time too. We are reading Sahih al-Bukhari, the book to Kitab al-Hajj. Let's do it. It is a lot of interest on that Sahih al-Bukhari, isn't it? Oh, we read on to most of them. Because he compiled a lot of this. That would have been the third completion of Sahih al-Bukhari. That would have been the third time he's speaking for it. If he had completed it, it would have been the third time of speaking for it. He started speaking for the Bukhari since 1984-85. 84-85 to 60. If he had completed the book to Kitab al-Hajj yesterday, and nothing remains for a human being that is as good as knowledge you have got. Because it does not end. When Sheikh Jafar Mahmoud was also assassinated, he had read the Quran also about 3 times or 4 times in his own case. Because he was more baptized in the Quran, Jafar Mahmoud, Rahimahullah. And I said it, and I've been asking many people to see whether you know anybody in Nigeria after Jafar that knows the Quran like Jafar. And Jafar Mahmoud, that he knows the Quran. When he's making tafsir of the Quran, it's a good student of Arabic language, you will learn Arabic. If you're a good student of Hadith, you will learn Hadith. If you're a good student of Qira'ah, you will learn Qira'ah. Of course, he read Quran in Jamia Islamiyya and Medina. He has, I think, a master's degree also from one of the Islamic universities in Sudan. But apart from that, because certificates do not necessarily indicate a person's knowledge and mentality. We all know that when we're in university, not all the professors can teach the topics they teach alike. You know those of them that they, when they teach, it is as if they are born with the topic they teach. And you know those of them who, when they teach, you know that they are only managing to teach. And that is the cost of the profession. So certificates do not necessarily indicate the depth of knowledge. But when scholars and students testify to the knowledge of the scholar, then we understand that we must value it. Alam Jafar Mahmoud knows the Quran very well. Very well. And what he does is just compare this to what you will find is Imam Muhammad al-Amin Shinkuti in Abu al-Bayan. Abu al-Bayan is a book that was written by, as the scholars say today, the most knowledgeable in tafsir in our time, Imam Shinkuti, from most famous, so he lived in Saudi Arabia and later. He titled the book Abu al-Bayan, في إيضاح القرآن بالفهم. التفسير is explaining the Quran using the Quran. Imam Shafi'i is explaining the Quran using the Quran. This is what Malan Jafar will do. If he took the verse of the Quran, he will bring related verses to explain words in the Quran. When he finishes, he goes to Arabic grammar. And then he goes to Qira'at, the science of the type of the Quran. Very helpful. Very happy. Very happy. And if you listen to the fitra he gave on a Friday, before the Friday, because he died on a Friday. I mean, Malam Jafar Mahmoud. He died on a Friday during Salat Ishtiq. In that Salat Ishtiq, it was the second Raka'ah and the last Sajda. He was in Sajda when he was shot three times and he died in his Sajda. He never stood up to take a sleep. He then in the company of the scholars who died in Sajda. Amongst them, Al-Imam Abu Hanif. The Hanif Rahimahullah who died in Sajda. One of the scholars has a compilation of the scholars who died while they were on Sajda. One of them was Ja'far Mahmud. So, on Friday, the Prophet of Hakkud alayhi salatu wasalam in 1963, that whoever dies on a Friday, whether in his night or during his day, Allah would protect him from the punishment of the day. Whoever dies on a Friday, maybe during the day or on the night of Jum'ah, Allah would protect him from the punishment of the day. So, Malam Jafar passed away, and we have not, I tell you this, the Muslim community in Nigeria, we have not recovered from the shock of the death of Malam Jafar. I tell you this. Malam Jafar was a man who, if the entire channel was dissolved, he could go to the radio and everybody go and sleep, and everybody would go and sleep. You know that kind of a scholar who has reputation and who has a faith. Not every scholar has reputation and then faith. You know what I mean by a faith? You can say government, you don't want to be. Oh, people sit down, they sit down. People stand up, they stand up. It was particularly this same man who was killed overnight was the one who gave birth, who gave the funeral birth of Malam Jafar. So you can see today, he is being given back. What he did about 5 years ago, they are doing it for him. So that is how the life is. You will just leave it and you will do it. Just somehow. At the time, perhaps, you are not expecting to do it. Yes. Usually. That is how death comes. Death comes at the time that you are not expecting that you will die. It just comes from Satan as Allah says. It's Atan. It will not tell you that. It will not have expected. Because one of the brothers said to me that he said to them that this morning they have to start a week after Salah to say. That you need tomorrow, inshallah, will start reading that book tomorrow. That is this morning. Not knowing that by this morning he will be in his grave. So that is how life is. That's why Allah said to us, he said, فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. Make faith to do good deeds. Make faith to do good deeds. Because you never can tell which one will be your last. If somebody just finished a good deed and is telling the people, don't worry, tomorrow will be another one. This time. Like I said, it's Malam Jafar. For him, this is in terms of good. And I've said this many times, even when he was alive. I've never seen any scholar in this country that has good as he has. Good. Why Malam Jafar has good? Allah, buk, buk, buk. I'm not just having the book. Allah, by the time He starts talking to you, He fills you up. He will move you within 2 minutes. He will move you up with information. If you say, this person said 15, 1, He will give you 10, He said it. The person said it in 15. If you are a listener of audience, you have books in your head. You think it will work. Listen to the teachings, the class, they are full of lots of benefits. All these do not mean that human beings don't have errors. How would we have known that they are human beings if they do not have errors? How? Apart from the messenger, Allah is telling us. And that is even in the matters of revelation. Otherwise, it's a human being to Allah is telling us. You know, there is a human being who told Enyama and Abbasa literally. In a human being, he even told in the Hadith, that is after the Quran. In the Hadith, he said, Enyama and Abbasa literally. That is a Nasisi was a Quruni. He was living in the Salah. And he made a mistake. He took that fight. After the Salah, he told him, and Abbasa literally. I'm a man like this. Answer, come out and show. I forget as you forget. Faiza Nafisi, when I forget. Father Kiruni, remind me. The messenger Ali. Those are the evidences that the prophet was a human being, like, who can forget. The only one who doesn't forget is Allah. That was why it was Rod Musa alayhi salam, this is Ra'ah. When he asked him, who is that man? Is liable Rabbi Allah. My Lord, liable. There is not a time Allah was ignorant of anything. No. His own knowledge is not a knowledge that is preceded with ignorance. He says to Rabb, Allahu alladhi akhrajakum min butuni ummahatikum la ta'lamun. When we came from the womb of our mother, what did we know? That was when we were accorded to Fasulah degree, so? Was that when we had PhD? La ta'lamuna shay'a al-nakratu fi siyaqin nafsitin bil-ulum. Shay'a, an indefinite noun coming in the context of a negative. La, it will indicate that what Allah is saying is that you don't know anything at all. لا تعلمون شيئا. So, as human beings, creatures, our own knowledge is preceded with ignorance. But the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not preceded with ignorance. That was why Musa said to Allah, لا يظل ربي. Then our own knowledge also is followed by forgetfulness. No matter how knowledgeable a person is, wallahi, we forget. Human beings. We forget. If we don't forget, we will not be able to live. How many times have we been so sad that we can't sleep? If Allah does not make us forget that thing that makes us sad, you will not be able to sleep forever. And that's why when a person suffers from any psychiatric illness, the drug they will give him is the drug that will bring boohoo to him. That will make him feel as if he doesn't know what he's doing. So that I can sleep. So I can forget that sadness and sleep. To forget sadness is that how many times do we have pain that we don't like to recall? We forget. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala liar. So you see, these two things come with the knowledge of Allah, indicating that the knowledge of Allah is indefinite. It knows no bounds. It does not have a starting point, and it does not have an end. It does not have any point where Allah didn't know something. And it does not have a point where He will not know something. This issue we are explaining is a serious issue of Aqidah among the Shia and other various groups of Muslims. But what we are saying is that these people we talk about, they are not Ma'asumin. They are not people who don't make mistakes. But that aside, we have a lot of good things. The people have been. And I tell you, if you go to the north, not even in the north, any Hausa locality, if they are listening, five people are listening to Peter, three of those five are listening to Tafsir of Jaffa. I tell you, even Ashaba, they put Peter on Ashaba. You see somebody riding Ashaba, you'll be hearing, Ya Ayyuhalladhina Amanu. Jaffa is explaining. So the last thing I want to do, they left their children, they left their family, and they went to it. Because it was time, ikhwa. That is where you should keep your mind. It will give you rest of mind. If you say that is the time. And actually that is the time. Because there is not any one of us except that the time of our death is fixed. It is fixed. It is written. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, on the third 40 day, he says, Summa yursal ilayhim malak. Thereafter, the angel will be sent to us in the womb, 120 days. وَيَنْفُقُ فِيهِ الْمُوحِ. This angel will blow life into the person by the command of Allah. وَيُؤْمَرُ بِأَرْبَعِ كَلِمَاتِ. And that malak is ordered to do four things. Four words. The text begins to be, you should write all the arzak, every cover you send, my brother, is written before you came out of the womb of your mother. Rizqihi mufradun mudar. Yufidu aydan al-umum. Rizqihi all the arzak that you send is written. Including the hair you will drink, including the water you will drink, including the food you will eat, including every risk that Allah will give you in prison. Every naira and kobo you send in prison, brother. The takbiri to him wa ajali is our ajal, our lifetime, the span of time we spend in prison. From when we were in the womb, this man died now at 64, that is what is written. From inside the womb, وعمله, his deeds, his actions, how will it be good or bad? وَشَقِيٌّ أَوْ سَعِيدٌ. Whether he is going to be شَقِيٌّ, wretched, or سَعِيدٌ, that's it. May Allah count us among people. The Prophet said, عَلَيْهِ سَلَامٌ. فَوَاللَّهِ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّهَ. I swear by Allah, besides whom nobody is worthy of worship. إِنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ لَا يَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ النَّارِ. Each of you, or one of you, may be acting, behaving like the people of the fire. حَتَّى مَا يَكُونُ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهَا إِلَّا ذِرَاعٌ. Such that it will be بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهَا. What is just left for him to enter that fire? كَانَ يَعْمَلُ عَمَلَ أَهْلِ النَّارِ. So he was acting the works of the people of fire. It just remains a hand span for him to enter that fire. فَيَعْمَلُ عَلَيْهِ الْكِتَابِ. What is written for him will come in front of him. فَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ فَيَدْخُلُ. It just changes and begins to act like the people of Al-Jannah and enters Al-Jannah. Where I grew up in the south, there is a boy we call Muhammad. This boy lives four houses away from us. We grew up together. So when we go to school, he goes to play football. In the next year, he dropped out of school and started taking in Jannah. We all became afraid of him. When we play football, he gets an argument. He brings knife, he brings dagger, he brings, you know, those kind of boys. Because he took in their hand. His name was Muhammad. My elder brother has had to go and appeal. His father takes him to the prison to lock him up. My brother has had to go and appeal to the father, please, release him, release him. Many times. To the extent that when his father sees my brother, he says, you come again. You want to see the Muhammad to have. His father. He was so troubled, this boy. Recently he died. My younger sister said to me that before he died, about 6 months before, it was as if something had, he was tied down, he got loose. You know when someone was tied down, gets loose. He He just changed overnight. Comes to Salawat, he was performing it together. To the extent that, with the people, to the extent that somebody came and said, Muhammad, say, I used to smoke, he said, I can't smoke again. A'udhu billah, Allah does not like smoking. After almost 25 years in that nonsense. No, doctor, it's that the brother died, Muhammad, after marriage and performing comes to Salawat, and stopping alcohol and Indian hemp and pickpocket. The last time I went there, he met me. We met at a bus stop. I could not greet him. He could not greet me. You know, because there's a barrier now. He see me, Ustaz, he can greet me. Because if he wants to greet me, there's a way he should greet me. You know, when you grew up with somebody in the same line. He can't talk to me, and I could not talk to him. But I was scared of him. He's a very funny person. He can do and undo. He can, Muhammad can do an undo. I asked before I let him sit down. What is written for him comes in front of him. فَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَحْلِ الْجَنَّةِ He begins to change and do the gifts of the people of Al-Jannah. And then he enters Al-Jannah. Because إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ Good deeds cancel out evil deeds. Cancel out. He said again, alayhi salam, وَإِنَّ أَحْدَكُمْ لَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ Some of you may be doing the acts of the people of Al-Jannah. حَتَّى مَا يَكُونُ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهَا إِلَّا مِرَاهُ But that what is just remaining for him to die and enter that Al-Jannah is just an arm's length. فَيَكْبِكُ عَلَيْهِ So what is written for him overtakes him. فَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ النَّارِ فَيَبْتِلِهَا You think this, like the person you gave an example. That woman performed her 17 times. She became a Christian. سَبَقَ عَلَيْهَا الْكِتَابُ So Allah says, the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam that what is the written also is whether that person is shakiyyun, wretched, or what? سَعِيدٌ We beg Allah to count us amongst the successful. We beg Allah to count our siblings and generations amongst the successful. When we will die, because we all shall die. Sometimes when they say to the messenger, we will kill you, we will kill you. Allah said to me, Afa in Nisa, Fahumul Khalid, yes, they say you will die, you will die, we will kill you, Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They say that to him. Allah says, tell them, Afa in Nisa, if you die, for whom will call you, does it mean they will live forever? The Prophet died, alayhi wa sallam. So if the Prophet had died, those who were accepting him, did they live forever? The same thing you feel a person, it doesn't mean you will live forever. If you feel someone, it doesn't mean you will live forever. It doesn't even mean what you feel him for, you will achieve it. والله يدفن الآن قد مات الإنسان this person has died now those who kill people carry the burden of those they kill Allah told us in the Quran says وَاتْلُوا عَلَيْهِ نَبَأَ أَبْنَيْ آدَمَ بِالْحَقِّ إِذْ قَرَّبَا قُرْبَانًا فَتُقُبِّلَ مِنْ أَحَدِهِمَا وَلَمْ يَتَقَبَّلْ مِنَ الْآخَرِينَ قَالَ لَأَقْتُلَنَّكَ Allah says, tell them about the story of the two children of Adam. Is when the both of them, Qarraba, they put forward Qurban and acts of worship that will bring them close to Allah. فَتُقُبِّلَ مِنْ أَحَدِهِمَا It was accepted from one of the two. وَلَمْ يُتَقَبَّلُ مِنَ الْآخَرِ And it was not to be accepted from the second one. قَالَ This second one said, لَأَقْتُلَنَّ I will kill you. Allah now said, إِنَّ مَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ The only people whose deeds Allah will accept are those who do those deeds for the sake of Allah alone. Always add alone. Not don't say, I did it for the sake of Allah. You can do it for the sake of Allah and for the sake of another thing. When you do good deeds, brother, do it for the sake of Allah alone. The brother now said to him, لَإِنْ بَسَتْتَ إِلَيَّ يَدَكَ لِتَقْتُلَنِي ما أنا بباسط يدي إليك لأقتلك إني أخاف الله رب العالمين. If you stretch your hand to kill me, I will not stretch my own hand to kill you. Because أخاف الله I fear Allah, it's even fear رب العالمين. So what did he say? إني أريد. Because what I want, أنت بوأ بإسمي, for you to carry my sin. وإسمك عن your own فتكون من أصحاب النار. So that you can be among the people of the fire. If you kill me, you will carry your sin. And who certain sin? My own. Kill me, you carry my sin, you carry your own too. A little young boy asked me today, this person that is killed, does it mean he will be free in his grave? I said, yes, by what Allah told him. Say how? I said, because Allah said me, that person who killed me will carry his sin. On the day of Qiyamah, he will be holding you about, what did I do? Why did you kill me? Let's go to Allah. You killed me, my life you took it, let's go to Allah. Those people who kill people are in trouble on the day of Qiyamah. The innocent man is going to jail. We write in the newspapers that government gave a court rule about a month ago. The court ruled that because, you know, about 2 years ago, thereabouts, they had said that there was a bombing in Kaduna or Zaria that he was involved. They brought us the boy. We read this in the newspaper. So don't think there's any hidden knowledge. It's in the paper. When they paraded the boy, they said they don't know him, they've never seen him before. And him, from among the things Allah has stated in him, is a very strong-minded person. So he went to court, he took the government to court and asked for damages of 15 million or so. They gave him 500,000. He said, no, you held me for 6 months. You think I'm an idiot? You give me 500,000. So that was a case. That case is still pending in court, that 500,000 is too small. Now, he now took them to court again that they should stop harassing him. They should stop disturbing him. The FSL should stop inviting him. And the court, after weighing the case here and there, it's in the paper. They said the FSL must never invite him. They must never go to his house. They must never interrogate him. They must never. The court counted what the people must not do to him. That is innocent. They must never mention him in connection to anything called these issues. So, what is left? If the man was guilty of something, the court says he is not guilty. In now court, you could find him guilty by all means. The khusuma is with Allah and the Qiyam. Yes. It does not end there. We have just started. And the life of this dunya is small. 54 years is small. In the hereafter, it is thousands of years. Yes. It's just the beginning. He started a new life today, 10 o'clock this morning, when he was lowered into his grave. He has started another life. Completely new life. Completely new life. But there, the money you spend is the knowledge you had acquired, the ibadah you had done, the teachings you had done, the salat you have performed, the hajj you have performed, and all that. That is the money you'll be spending there. If you don't have what to spend, what do you do? May Allah give us what to spend there. So there, brothers, as we have gone somehow, somewhere, we will go to. He said, alayhi salatu, subhanahu wa ta'ala, innaka mayyitun wa innahu mayyitun. Innaka mayyitun, Muhammad alayhi salatu, you will die. Wa innahu mayyitun, they will die too. Residents die. Slaves die, servants die, secretaries die, people die, House of Assembly die, Army General can die, everybody can die. Death is for all. It's a death we owe. We all shall pay. We all shall pay. But you should make sure nobody's life goes out from your hand. That is your own. Nobody's life will go away from your hand. But when it happens, you'll be in trouble. even your mind will not rest. Except that those people don't want to know their mind. May Allah protect all of us. But you should understand that when scholars die like this, those people who kill them are the worst enemies of the people. Because they took away people who will guide them. The people will live like animals. I tell you, when scholars die, what did the Prophet said, alayhi salam, say, alayhi salam? He says, Inna Allah la yanzi'u al-ilma an sudur al-ibad. Walakin yanzur al-ulum biqabd al-ulama. Allah will not take away knowledge by removing the knowledge from the mind of the scholar. No. Lakin, knowledge will go biqabd al-ulama by him, Allah, taking away the scholars away. The same one died 6 years ago. We are still suffering from it. I told the brothers then, I said, before we see another Ja'far, we need 25 years in Nigeria. I tell you, to produce another one, you need an 18-year-old boy who will not do anything for 25 years to gain that level of scholarship. Where is it? And now we are still suffering from that, and another one happened. How many years now, Bobby? May Allah forgive our dead people. May Allah forgive the dead people. And then the boy and the mother and the child. May Allah forgive the dead people. The mind is really, really heavy. Except that Islam gave us many palliatives, many things to calm down ourselves. Imam Shafi'i, Rubayy ibn Sulaiman, one of the students of Imam Shafi'i. The Imam al-Bayhaqi reported that in Manasib al-Shaf. Rubayy ibn Sulaiman said, Su'il al-Shafi'i an al-Qadr. Imam al-Shafi'i was asked about Qadr. And he said, Rahimahullah, that ma shi'ita qana wa in lam asa wa ma shi'iti in lam tasha lam yakun. خلقت العبادة على ما علمت ففي العلم يجري الفتى والمسلم. يقول رحمه الله ما شئت كان او الله it is what you want that happen. It is what Allah wants that happen. وإن لم أشاء even if I don't like that thing. وَمَا شِئْتِ if I like something, إِنْ لَمْ تَشَىٰ if Allah does not like it, لَمْ يَشْءِ it will not happen. If something happens, it has happened, it happens because that is the wish of Allah. Allah has wished it to happen like that. And that happening is according to the knowledge of Allah. So that's why it says, خَلَقْتَ الْعِبَادَ عَلَىٰ مَا عَلِمْتَ you have created that you have made the creation, alama alimta, based on your knowledge. And that is the second level of qadar, kuf, al-ilm. Wa anna allaha qad ahata bi kulli shay'in ilma. The second level of qadar is that, the first level of qadar is that Allah knows everything. It says, fasul ilm, that's your knowledge. With which you created everything. Yajri al-fata wal-muslim. In it, the young boy and the old will proceed according to that knowledge. Both the young and old will proceed. Everybody will proceed. He has proceeded. According to that, we will proceed to according to that. Because everybody has his own time. Now he has gone before us. Our own time will come. Whether we want it or not. Our time will come and we will go. What we want is to go with Iman. Go not having anybody's blood on our neck. Go not having anybody's material on our hands. Yes. Not having people's rights on our hands. not having people's blood on our neck. Successful is he who goes like this. May Allah count us amongst them. Not having people's rights, people's views. That is, not having being unfair to people in dealing with them. Yes, every wrongdoing will be darkness for that volume on the day of judgment. May Allah save us from that, protect us. So when our time comes, I was told that the entire city was filled with people. I was in Kano when Malam Ja'far died. And I was away now from Yari Ayan, Malam Al-Albani died. And I was so glad that everywhere was filled up in Yari. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal used to say that, اليوم العهد بيننا وبينكم يوم الجنازة. You need to tell the people of innovation. On the day you die, on the day we die, we will know who is upon the seat. Yes. Somebody asked Sheikh Al-Albani, Sheikh Lana, man il Albani? Tell us who is Albani. إذا مات الألباني يعرف الألباني. The day that Albani died, you will know who Albani is. The real Albani himself. So the day that I die, when I die, that is when you know me. It means he was really a man. A man is telling that you don't know me now. Don't worry, when I die, you know me. Some people want to be known when they are alive. We don't know them. Are those that we will know when they die? Both their life and death doesn't have any meaning to us. But these people are telling us, don't worry, don't let me be telling you. When I die, you will know who I am. So death is one of the things to teach Allah honors scholars with. When they die, you see people crowd their janaza. What did he say, Allah scholars? He went forth, if he fought, pray on the janaza, Allah will forgive that death person. So you see thousands, tens of thousands performing janaza on the dead. Learned person. I think for this Harun, or one of the past, or Ma'mun, one of the past, rulers in the Muslim world. One of the scholars, if I'm not mistaken, Daru Kutniya, one of them, was entering the city. The whole city was moving. The man was asking, what's happening? The same scholar, who is that? We that we are kings. If we want to go out, people don't come out like this now, except we mobilize them. So the people are mobilized from grassroots. So the people will be asking them, give us money now to mobilize. Are you? The meaning money to bribe the people to come out. But when the ulama wants to be seen, people come out willingly. We want to see Sheikh. We are going to janaza of Sheikh Ulam. Not by invitation. If you know anybody who went to that janaza, ask him. They did not invite him. I'll tell you. But he is still an obligation. Still an obligation. But when those people go or pass that, you part of the day. The security will not even allow you rest. The goal and all. Allahu Akbar, Akbatana, 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 really Akbatana, 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 I usually feel bad. Okay. If you are very conversant, let's just go a little bit. If you are very conversant with what is happening in the world, you know that there are a lot of differences, issues of differences. This one is a moped, this one is a pastor, this one is this one is that. The scholars passing the ball. This one says this one is so, the other one says that one is this, the other one says this one is that. But when the big scholars were around, when Sheikh Bumbah were around, when the Sami was around, Sheikh Al-Albani was around, Sheikh Rabi, Sheikh Madkali, Sheikh Mukbil al-Wadi, and all these big scholars were around. There was no trouble. When there was a trouble with the prayer, they would speak up, the people will carry the matter to them. Wallahi, the greatest asset in the Muslim community are the scholars. Everybody needs them. The king needs them. The people need them. Everybody meets the scholar. So when they are not there, what happens? You see, the people behave like animals. That's why you find when the people wanted to cause evil in the past of Nigeria that they caused evil, what did they do first? They kill the scholars first. When the scholars go, anything can happen. Nobody will say, what you are doing, Allah says that it's wrong. When nobody could say that, so what do you expect? Nobody could say, what you did now, Allah doesn't like it. Allah says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. وَلَا تَقْسُمُ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ. Nobody could tell you to do that. Allah says, don't take a soul. The people who will say, the first of all, Muslim. Don't think it is the enemies of Islam that are doing it. It's a very deadly one they are blaming. It's a deadly blame they are giving up, if we know. It is a very deadly blame. So all the students who attended the class yesterday, wallahi, they can double up 50 times. I said, if you go to his class in Zaria, enough of students. Many. Everybody with a book. So now, all those people now, who will sit down and start saying? Everybody starts looking for what we do now. So, and our religion cannot progress, brothers and sisters. Our religion cannot progress without knowledge. I think somewhere around here people say Imalolek. Are we? Imalola Dina. So all the people who will pass the knowledge on, when they take them away, what will happen? Adina will come down. For me, as an individual, that's more saddening than depicting himself. Yes. It's more saddening. It's more saddening than depicting. Human beings come and go. And every one of us will go. But who is going is the issue. Who is going? When the Prophet died, alayhi salatu salam, that's the kind of thing you see that the companions felt. Fatima radiallahu anha was asking them, how did you people feel to pour sand on top of the Prophet Muhammad? Alayhi salatu. Do you understand? The Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salam, they had loved him and they loved him more than themselves. Allah said so. Al-Nabiyyu awlaadu al-mu'minina min anfusihim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was more beloved to the companions than themselves. They loved the Prophet more than they loved themselves. Yet, when he passed on, they had to get, Anas ibn Malik said, it was as if the whole of Medina was dark. He said it was opposite what happened the day he came to Medina. That day it was as if the whole of Medina was lit, light everywhere. Medina, why? Muhammad had come, alayhi salam. And the day he died, it was as if there was no sun. As if we are not even seeing ourselves. Why? The Prophet Muhammad had died. But one of the women turned the heads of the people, apart from the statement of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. He said, Umm Ayman radiallahu anhu. He said her own cry that she dropped in tears. It's not because the Prophet died there, just that one. It is because from today, revelation will not come from heaven again. So mankind will be there. Because it's the last of messenger. So that's what me and trying. So God will not talk to mankind again. God will not talk to us again. That is why she was crying. Radiallahu. So today, the people in Zaria will say, what's the many now? In secondary school there, the nursery and primary school, boys and girls, boys separate in the nursery school. boy separate, girl separate. In the secondary school, boy separate, girl separate. Primary, boy separate, girl separate. You put them. I know what in the secondary school they are not teaching it except science. Science academy. That's what they want. Only science. And after year 3, they will spend 1 year to memorize the Quran. It's part of their own curriculum. After year 3, 1 year, one whole year for Quran and Arabic. Before you continue with the But with all, who will be arsala rasulahu bil huda bil haqqi ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره الكافرون والله بالغ على امره ولكن اكثر الناس لا يعلمون Allah forgive him, peace. May Allah say, the time that we will go to, may Allah make it upon Iman. The other thing, Allah make our death to be easy. I tell you, I think death is easy. The one who will lie down the bed, or which one? Which death is easy? The one who will lie down the bed? It is very painful. May Allah protect us. If you ask me, how do I know? Have I died before? I have not died before, and I can could not have died before and come. When the person dies, he goes. And Allah puts between that dead and the living a barmah, liabogia. But the Prophet Muhammad, he said death is difficult. While he was dying, the Prophet Muhammad, while he was dying, in his last moment, he said, death is difficult. And he was said to be made easy. And yet, with his patience, alayhi salatu wasalam, he said death is difficult. He died on the bed. Because when a person is dying, the life goes out from the legs, then the knee, then the waist, then up. The last place where life meets the body is the mouth. That is the reason why when people die, their mouths are open. And he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that the eyes will be following the life as it goes away. So that's why the eyes are also open. He, it happened to him like that, alayhi salatu. Abu Bakr al-Siddiq was the one who came, opened the cloth from his face, used his hands to cover his eyes, kissed his forehead, and then close him back. So when you see a person dying or just dead, close his mouth, cover his face. If it's a deep power of person, kiss his forehead. You will notice one thing. You are likely to see him sweating on his forehead. It is one of the symbols of putting in khatima. The Prophet said it. One of the symbols of good death, a person has died well, is that you see sweat on his face, yeah, on his forehead. You see sweat there. The death is difficult. The one who is caught, not even about to come, he just finishes, come, once. Even if a car accident, come, once. Then he just died on the spot. But the other one dies over time. So which one is good? You will not be left with saying that death is death. That is the only thing you say. Death is death. You're about to say, I don't want to die in accident. You don't want to die inside water. You don't want to die inside well. You don't want to die when you sleep before the next morning. You don't want to die in your farm. You don't want to die when driving your car. So when do you want to die? Where? So death. So guess where and when? So you see, the only conclusion reasonable will be left with is that let us prepare for death. Whenever and wherever may Allah make us die upon him and accept us. Because some people, لا تفتح لهم أبواب السماء حتى يلج الجمل في سم الخيام. When we are told, because the Prophet told us in a very lengthy hadith reported by Imam Ibn Majah in his Sunan, Imam al-Nasa'i, Ashab al-Sunan, very lengthy hadith, the Prophet told us, how does life go out of human beings? He says, when the life goes, the life of the mu'min comes out from his body the way we pour water from the kettle. As difficult as we describe it, so how will the death of a castle be? That's why if you see some people in the hospital, they will poo-poo, you know poo-poo? They will defecate. Because of the difficulty, some of them will vomit, some of them will be saying nonsense. So for the mu'min, the life comes like the way you pour water from the kettle. You know the way the water flows? Yes, it's difficult. Then after that, the malaika who came to take the soul, they will put that soul on a nice tray from 13, and they will take it to the heavens. And as they ascend the heavens, the malaika will be asking them, who is he? They say, the son of so-so-so, the son of so-so-so. Hey, come on. And the soul will be hanging in the heavens. It will go. It will be waiting for the time that that person, the body, will be put in the grave. And when the body is put in the grave, Allah commands that soul to go back to the body. The Prophet Muhammad, when he said this, the companions asked him, are you saying that as we are now, that is how we will live in the grave? He said, yes. Alayhi salatu. As we are now, living, hearing, seeing, smelling, hearing, looking, feeling pain, that is how we will be in the grave. But those who are alive will not see us like that, because we are in a different different world. Otherwise, may Allah make our grave a place of peace for us. Sometimes when you think about the grave itself, you are held in tremor. This person who died today has a huge mansion he just finished. Huge, I tell you, huge. He will not sleep inside the grave. He will sleep inside the ground. That is how each of us will go. But if it were a soul of a kafir, when the angel takes the soul away and takes it to the heaven, so whose soul will be? In the soul of so kafir, they say, no road here for kafir. The soul of the kafir will not go into the heaven. It will be hanging between the earth and the first heaven. Yes. And unfortunately for them, they keep the body in the morgue. The body is in the morgue, the soul is in the morgue. Up there, the body is down here. So that's how the two will be suffering. The body is suffering, the soul is suffering. The soul is suffering there. Hands, suspended for as long as the people will think that they want to honor him with a befitting burial. Befitting? Kafir, befitting? Wallahi, they don't know what they say when they say befitting. Befitting? Inside grave, Ya Munkar and Nakir appear to him. That is the befitting. And the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, they smack his head with iron bar. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, every creature of Allah will hear the sound of his shouting, yay, unless mankind and jinn. He said, were it not that I fear that you will stop burying your dead, I would have begged Allah to make you see what is happening. Because the Prophet was given the opportunity to see some. alayhi salatu wasalam, yes. There is nothing like visiting burial, for example, except deception. Visiting deception. So, brother and sister, fastidiously khairah, I should make efforts to improve upon good deeds. You too should make efforts to improve upon good deeds too, because you never know when the time will come. People say death is sufficient summon. We start to be Nawakil Islam, man in Takada, Anna Badana. It will not be like reminding you, say you die soon, you die anytime. Nobody knows when his time will come. Yes. Nobody knows. You say 10 people were taught in the village service. Three died. He himself got to the hospital before he finally, like people say, gave the book before he finally died. The seven others were just having village names because their time has not reached. The those people whose time had come, they were what? Taken away. You, your time has come. Pam, pam, pam. Let people first go back and see whether we are ready, when the time will come, when our individual time will come. Allah alone knows. Some of the scholars, Al-Imam Hammad ibn Zayd, Hammad ibn Salama, it was said that for 20 years he was waiting for death. That maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow. It was said, if you ask him, you are dying tomorrow, so say I'm ready. 20 years! 20 years! He was prepared for the time that Allah will take his life. They say he didn't have any extra nafila to do. Even if they say, oh yeah, prepare, yes, let me do my last nafila. Inshallah, Allah, please. And in that nafila, what many people say is that, let me do it today, like, give me some more time. Give me time. One of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad, in the early days of Islam, I wouldn't remember his name, but the hadith is in Sahih Bukhari. He wanted to kill him. He told those people, just wait for me. Let me make 2 rakats of nafil. He made the 2 rakats of nafil. He said to them, were it not that you would think that I'm using these 2 rakats of nafil to escape, I would have stayed longer because I'm enjoying the 2 rakats of nafil. But you would think that I'm escaping, I'm prolonging the time. So, let us all start making those rakats now. Main fences. You understand what I mean? Main fences. You have brothers, you have relatives, father, mother, wife, husband, that you are in disagreement with. Settle it now. Before the time that you will not have the opportunity again. Settle it now. When you owe debt, say it now or record it. When people have rights with you, give every person his or her rights with you on your neck. Before the day, you will not be able to give anybody anything. Your children, your wife, their duties, you owe them. Begin to fulfill it. Because those things Allah will ask about it. How did you handle your wife? How did you handle your child? How did you handle your work? How did you handle everything I have given you? ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِنٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمٍ. When you ate and got filled, what did you do? You performed salah? What did you do with your time? You were watching football? Those football matches, what do you think it will do for you? Positive or negative? When they say go, you are shouting go. What will it do for you? Will it add or remove? Let each and every person go back and answer the questions for himself. The man and the woman and the boy, they've all gone now. They will be answering for themselves. The father cannot answer for the wife. Say, no worry, I need the husband. The wife cannot say, oh, go and ask my husband. He was a scholar. When Munkar and Nakir wake her up, my Rabbuki, she can't say, oh, my husband was a scholar. Ask him. Yes. لكل امرئ منهم يومئذ شأن يغنيه. The husband who is a scholar to have his own. The son who cannot say my papa na afa. No! The prophet told us, alayhi salatu salam, to Fatima, ya Fatima. Tamini Masri, ask me what you want now. Because on the day of Qiyamah, my papa na anabi is not there. Ask me now. Do what you want now. Do what you should do now. We have life now. And you know what? Even when we human beings start to be unnecessarily high-handed and shoulder up, it is because there is life on our hands. Somebody died and was taken to a mortuary, but we made sure they did not put her in the mortuary. So when we were giving birth to that thought, a woman, don't wonder, well, how she starts doing. She was my grandmother. So there was a lady that was walking. She was, the air was climbing the recoil. But she was on the ground. And the water was flowing towards her. The water with which we were bathing a cup was flowing towards her. She can't say me, Namigo, no, that one is not there again. That young guy is not there again. Ya ayyuhal insan, ma garraka bi rabbika al-karim. When you make that yanga to Allah, me I can't wear hijab, me I can't do this, me I can't do that, to Allah, ma garraka. What is that thing that is pushing you now, Ghana? What is it? What? What when Allah takes his soul, the man is nothing. Who put him on the ground? Maybe he's sleeping on water bed. It is sand bed now. And that is the masir of all human beings. Rich and poor. Old and young. Man and woman. Professor or no professor. The time that we are going to leave the surface of this earth, may Allah make us live upon Iman. If we have 1, 2, 3 questions we should ask before we depart, although the mind is very heavy, but perhaps what we have said may require 1, 2 clarifications. Let's make it brief so that we can go quickly. And each person has assignment. Go and think about these things. May Allah make it easy for us. Life is just like that. Just you. This. When the time comes, it will never be postponed for a minute. Neither will it be brought back. May Allah make us aware. If there are no questions, alaykum salam. You don't know, or I don't know any question that the burial places of men and women should be separated. Because even during Salatul Janaza can be performed on both men and women. What you do is, you put the woman closer to the Qibla, followed by children, followed by men. So, but in terms of burial ground, say this place for women, this place for men. Doing that will require a proof, a hadith that will prove that you should do that. Allahu A'lam. Can we, Naam, alayhi salam. Alayhi salatu wa salam. It is not allowed to bury corpses inside the masjid. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لا تجعلوا قبوركم مساجدا. Don't convert your grave to your mosque. But don't also convert your mosque to grave. It's not allowed to do it. It even cost the Jews. لعن الله اليهود والنصارى اتخذوا قبور انبيائهم مساجد. The curse of Allah be upon the Jews and the Christians. The Prophet Muhammad said to alayhi salatu wasalam, it was one of the last things he said while he was dying. And he said, لا تجعلوا قبري عيدا. Don't make my grave a place of celebration or a place where you come and be visiting and making a joy. Don't make my grave like that. He cursed the Jews again because they did that to their prophets. They turned the grave sites of their prophets to their worship places. It's not allowed to bury corpses inside the masjid. It is haram. And the ulama say such salah are baatil, or baatila, when people perform salah inside the masjid. However, maybe the grave is in the qibla, like this, and the imam is facing it, the salat is baatil. Maybe at the middle of the night, like that, the salat is not obstructed. So, but regarding a corner in the side of the masjid, they say it is makruh to pray in such masjid. If it is outside, one corner somewhere, should avoid. And the Muslim should try. It's one of the things that is not common in the Yoruba community. Yorubas don't like burying their dead in the graveyard. They bury them in their houses. The house that does not belong to him. Do you know that? Once you die, your house is not your own. But Yorubas have a culture of not making the children inherit those houses. Once you die, all those properties are transferred. You don't know? To the children and those who are due for the inheritance of the man. You're about to say Orisu Baba Wani. What Orisu Baba? The earth is Orisu Sani. The earth belongs to who? To your father? To Allah. It's a culture amongst Yoruba. They don't like, and if the situation demands that they should sell the house and share the profit, the price, they say no, they don't want to share it. They would rather leave it like that. This thing may not be solved by the day. It will need general education, and that education must start one day. When somebody dies, you should not say the person should be buried inside his house. They should bury him in the Muslim burial ground. That means we have to have burial ground. And there are burial grounds now. I don't know whether we should go half. But once you go after a very day, I think you are going to a day. You see one burial ground there. Burial ground for Muslims. Bury your corpse there. Don't bury your corpse inside the house, nor inside the masjid. It's not correct at all. The Prophet cursed those who do that. Cursed Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Husayni. يسوي الفضل سيد عليه الصلاة والسلام. لعن الله اليهود اتخذوا قبور أنبيائهم المساجد. That is good news to say. لعن الله اليهود. That he is the one causing them. May Allah cause the Jews and the Christians. Or he is informing us that Allah's curse is on them already because of what they did. The Prophet is either cursing them, alayhi salam. Or he's telling us that they have curse on them because of what they did. So let's not do it at all. May Allah forgive us. If you ask, if they have already done it, can they remove the corpses and take them to the burial ground? Yes. Yes, they can. If it is in the masjid or in the house, they can remove the corpses and take them to the burial ground. If one is chance to meet someone in a dying state, what assistance can you render for you to quietly and gently be telling him, La ilaha illallah. Say La ilaha illallah. But the ulama say, be careful when you are telling him to say La ilaha illallah. Because some of the people, like Sheikh Saleh Fawzan and Fawzan said, he said some of the people, the pains of death will overcome them. When you tell him, say La ilaha illallah, he said, I'm not saying, and that's how he goes. So when you want to tell them, he says, Lakinu mawtakum, La ilaha illallah, ko, Lakinu. But he tells them to say, tell them in a nice manner. So that the man you want to help does not become wretched as a result. Whatever. So when you are doing it, it's a big job. You have to be calm and notice his condition. If I tell him, how will he feel? If you see that, if you tell him, he may feel so bad and reject it. Don't tell him. You just be saying it. La ilaha illallah. You just be saying it. But when you see that he can accept what you say, then you say, La ilaha illallah. But be careful when you do that. It's part of the things you can do to help that person. Part of what you can do also to help a dying person is to tell him good things. That we know you for goodness. You always read the Quran. You always read Hadith. You always come regularly to come to Salawat. So he will have hope of meeting Allah. Because the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, the one who hopes to meet good with Allah while on the deathbed, while still afraid of the punishment of Allah, that good he is hoping to meet with Allah, Allah will give it to him. That punishment he is afraid of, Allah will remove it from him. But it has to be that he is hopeful and fearful. But what happens is that because of pain, many people become fearful. They say, now guy did this, how is that grace to be? So the mind is captured in fear. So that is the essence of telling them good things about themselves. That you were, Umar radiallahu anhu, while he was stuck, Umar's injury was so severe that if he took milk, it came out from his stomach. Umar radiallahu anhu, he was stabbed by Abu Lu'lu' al-Majusi after he had soaked the dagger in the poison for days. He didn't only dagger Omar, he daggered other companions while trying to run away. And they used a cloth to round him and get him. He was trying to run away. Anyone who went to him, he daggered him. Somebody came from behind and wrapped him with a cloth and they covered him all there. The point of reference was when Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma came to meet Umar radiallahu anhu, he started to tell him, good news for you, ya Aba Hafsin. You are the second caliph after the Messenger alayhi salatu. You said some things by which Allah revealed some verses of the Quran. You did this, you did that, you did this, you did that. You know what Umar said radiallahu anhu? Said, I hope these good things will overweigh my sins. Umar, radiallahu anhu. Some of us are so arrogant with ourselves that today we think that we have done the whole good deeds in the world. Omar is still thinking that maybe, I don't know how it will be.
So it shows the extent of sadness in the mind of the person that is dying. So that's why you need to tell them good things that will give them hope. That don't worry, don't need to be afraid. Allah has blessed you with this, you did those things, you said those things, you connect ties of friendship, tell him things that will make him hopeful. There's an old man like that. He spent all his life in England as a lawyer. But now he's towards his end time. May Allah give him strength of iman and the body and make him end well. So when I saw him, I was told about him. I started telling him about the benefits of being an aged person. He told me recently, he said, he is always looking forward to the day that I will come to his house. Because you give him confidence, you give him hope. Ordinarily, elderly people will be afraid of their past. They cry when they remember some of what they had done. They say, "Kai, we don't commit to." You've not heard it before? I've heard elderly person saying it before. They say, "Kai, we don't commit." People like that, you give them hope. That in al hasanati, you tell them positive things so that they be positive about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those are some of the things that we can do to benefit the dead person. From that also, if you know he may have debt, write his debt, ask him, "Are you owing? Tell me who you are owing." There's a brother like that, alhamdulillah, he's still alive. He had an accident, he had to do a surgery. The upper femur got broken. He made a surgery. On the day of that surgery, he thought he would die. So he called myself and one brother. I said, "I'm likely to die now." I said, "Don't be afraid. You may not also die." He said, "Okay." But listen to me. The brother was very confident. I said, "You want to tell us something?" He said, "Yes." I said, "What are they?" He said, "Go back and tell all my friends we graduated from the school. Those ones that I have offended, they should forgive me." I said, "What else?" "You have death?" He said, "No." He said, "Then tell my wife that she should take care of my children." I said, "Do you have anything against?" He said, "No." Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. Brother, start preparing your mind now. All of us. I said, "You have anything?" He said, "No." "No death, nothing." Say, "No." "No death, nothing. I'm just waiting for the time." So I started telling him things that will make him happy. The brother is still alive now. When we talk about this moment, we laugh. I say, "Say you are ready." Say, "I'm not sure, I've made up my mind." That is how it is. The dying people make up their mind quickly. It is their family that will say, "Hey, quickly." The mu'min wants to see that it's like it to end now. He will be thinking about what will benefit him there. So that's why they'll be asking, "Your house, your car." Don't ask him that. Ask him his debt. Ask him who he has something to give. Ask him who he has offended. That is it. So things like this will benefit the dying person, inshallah. Is it allowed to recite Surah Al-Mulk for the deceased? I don't know any evidence that supports that. Can a Muslim lady follow the deceased to the grave? So, do the right or something. That is following dead bodies. Yes, the scholars are different. They have different opinions. Some say no, you can't. Some say you can't. There is a hadith of Umm Salama radiallahu anha that they used, the hadith is in Sunan Abi Dawud, that they used to prohibit us from going. "Walam yakunu yu'azzimu alayna," or something like this. But they did not used to compel us not to go. Ulama says means basically the woman should not go. To not follow the call. But because they did not seek to compel us, it's evident that yes, she's not encouraged to go, but if she compels herself that "I want to go," you cannot say "don't go," because they did not seek to compel us not to go. So this position appears correct. The woman is not encouraged to go, but if she forces herself that, "Look, I want to go," then it is allowed for her to follow the dead to the graveyard. But she will not mix with men and things like that. And it is not allowed to be wailing and shouting when a person dies. You will be holding it. My brothers, it is difficult, but you will be holding it. You will be holding it. You hold yourself not to be wailing. Otherwise, you will be wailing. If you are not careful, may Allah protect us. So these are the things. The same thing, Salatul Janaza. It is not common in these communities. It's common in the north. But it's not common in these communities that women pray Salatul Janaza on the dead. It is sunnah. The women can line up behind the men, just like we are praying like this. And you can actually take the dead cup to them. And they pray, one of them will stand at the middle and leave the rest of them in Salah. Aisha did that, radiallahu anha. Many times, it was a common practice amongst the early Muslims. So don't prevent women, because praying janaza has some spiritual upliftment to give to us. So don't prevent the women from that, if they have the opportunity. And the women say, this always shows that we all have to go and start learning these things. It came to my mind a lot. Today I've been thinking about so many things. We all have to learn these issues of how to take care of corpses. You know, when somebody dies, how do we take care of the dead Muslim, male or female? You know, things like this. Women should learn it, men should learn it too. Alaykum as-salam. Hey, big issue. We cannot see the dead. Can the dead see us? It's a serious issue. Part of that is, can they hear us? Sama'ul Amwat. I'll just give us a summary of the response. They cannot see us and we cannot see them. Except their bodies, their physical bodies. But their actual face, we can. The Prophet was allowed, alayhi salatu wasalam, to see. And he told us that were it not that we would be run avoiding to bury our corpse, he would have begged Allah for us to be seen. It means we cannot see. Do we understand the take of that hadith? He said, were it, alayhi salatu wasalam, if it were not that we will be avoiding to bury our corpse, he would have begged Allah to make us see. What does that mean? It means that we cannot see. Cannot hear, that is the most correct opinion. We cannot hear the dead cannot hear us, except with an exception. The only thing the dead can hear from us are the flaps of our shoe when we go out of graveyard. Other than that, Allah says, إِنَّكَ لَا تُسْمِعُ الْمَوْتَى وَلَا تُسْمِعُ الدُّعَاءَ إِذَا وَلَّوْ مُدْبِرِينَ إِنَّكَ لَا تُسْمِعُ الْمَوْتَى. You, Muhammad, عليه السلام. You cannot make a dead person to hear. Allah was using that vis-a-vis non-Muslims. That you, if you preach to them, you cannot force them, you cannot make them hear. So the ulama, and Allah used the dead person. If a living can make a dead person to hear what he's saying, Allah would not use that as an example. إِنَّكَ لَا تُسْمِعُ الْمَوْتَى. You, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi, you cannot make a dead person to hear you. Means that a dead person cannot hear the living. And there's a hadith of Aisha about that. Also, the other exception to hearing was after the Battle of Badr, when Allah gave a miracle to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi, that those people amongst the mushrikun of Quraysh, Allah allowed the Prophet to address them. O Fulan, O Umayyah, O so and so. Al wajadtum ma wa'adtum rabbukum haqqa. Qad wajadtum ma wa'adani rabbi haqqa. Because I have seen in reality what my own Lord promised me. What Allah promised me. Have you seen it? That is the punishment that they receive. Umar radiallahu anhu was asking the Prophet Muhammad, that are they hearing you? Why are you talking to the dead person? That is evidence that ordinarily the living cannot communicate with the dead. So Umar would make that a thought. Why are you talking to somebody who is dead? If he had known that a dead person can hear a living, he wouldn't say that to the Prophet Muhammad. And the Prophet replied that, فَإِنَّهُمْ أَلْآنَا يَسْمَعُونَ. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. The Prophet said, now they are hearing, meaning that even though they don't hear the living, these ones have been made to hear me, as it's in other versions of that hadith. That hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. So that is evidence that the living and the dead, بَيْنَنَا بَرْزَخٌ, there is a barzakh between us. Another verse in the Quran that says that. So we cannot see the actual condition of the dead person. And the dead person too do not see us because they are disconnected. There's a barzakh between we and them. But as for hearing also, we cannot hear. Although there are some scholars, among the scholars of Sunnah, that believe that we can hear. This is an issue amongst the scholars. But the most correct opinion, and Allahu A'lam, is that the living cannot hear the dead, and the dead cannot hear the living, based on those evidences we can say and do. Allahu A'lam. Alaykum As-Salaam. Please, can a... Alaykum As-Salaam. What will be the condition of someone who was killed, but his mother repented? Allah is laughing at the two of them. He laughs. He smiles at the two of them. Someone kills the other person. And they have on a war, battlefield with Muslims, legal, a valid Sharia battle, jihad, that is valid in the Sharia. And that is a jihad that is fought by a state, not jihad that is fought by a group of individuals who think they want to cause problems. State fight jihad in Islam, not individual. You know what I mean by state? Government, not individual. In any case, the Prophet mentioned alayhi salatu salam of two people. One was a mushrik, the other one was a mu'min. They fought in a battle. That mushrik killed the mu'min. He became a Messiah. Later, the mushrik became a mu'min and was also killed in the battle scene. Sayyidina al-Hasanat yuzhibna al-Sayyat. Good deeds remove evil deeds. So if the person repents truly, Allah will forgive him. Allah will forgive him. That is his promise. Alayhi salam. To make it easy for you to